Tonight we're turning in our Bibles to the Old Testament. If you have your Bibles, let's turn back to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua 24. Verse 14. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Let's look to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the great blessing that this service has been even so far. And we trust now that as we open your word, that you will open our hearts and help us to behold wondrous things from thy law. We thank you that the Spirit of God is our teacher and our guide. And we thank you that he's our comforter, and we are comforted in him. And we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for this opportunity to open it tonight, and we pray that it will be a blessing to each and every heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Moses said here in verse 15, choose this day who you will serve. Choose this day who you will serve. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. These words were God's call to serve not only to the people of Joshua's day, but to us as well. And I want to point out two things here about these words of Joshua. First of all, these words were not Joshua's own words, but they were words that were given to him by the Lord. If you look in verse 2, it says, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And he proceeds, including verse 15 and beyond, giving the people the words of God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. So the call to serve was a divine call to these people, and it's a divine call to us. And secondly, in these words, we see the thoughts of a man who would very soon leave this life. Joshua was getting ready to depart from this world. And these were the thoughts and the words that meant the most to him. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua had served the Lord all his life. And now, right on the eve of his departure, he renews that sacred vow. He renews that commitment to serve the Lord. And he does that because serving the Lord is a lifelong endeavor. Contrary to the thinking of this world, there's not some magical age that you reach and then you can retire from serving the Lord. You never retire from serving the Lord, at least not until death or the rapture takes you away from this world. We're getting coming up on the Christmas time, I'm sure we've all read before, we'll probably be reading again soon, in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, that very, very elderly widow woman by the name of Anna. You remember Anna in Luke chapter 2. The Bible tells us that she was a woman of great age. And it says that she was a widow of about 84 years old. But her age is not what grabs our attention as much as what she did at this great age. She had heard the call to serve, and she was faithful to that call. And we read in that text that she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she was a witness for the Lord. She spoke to the people about the Lord. So at her great age, what was she doing? She was serving God night and day. And from that passage, one Bible expositor explains that her age of 84 years mentioned here is the age from her widowhood. He makes, this Bible expositor makes her out to be serving God at a great age beyond 100. If she was married at a very young age, as the culture of some is, and if she was married for 7 years, and then if she was a widow for 84 years, it adds up that she was over 100 years old, well over 100. Pastor Bruno's mother, she lived to be 104 years old. But the question is this: what results are the choices that you're going to be making in your life? What are they going to have upon you? Noah was 600 years when he began to build the ark. Moses was 80 years old when God called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And we read in the Psalm 71:18, "O God, you have taught me from my youth," the psalmist said, "and now I'm old and gray-headed. But forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come." This psalm is a plea to God that as we may have served God in our youth, God, don't forsake us when we're old, when we're gray-headed, but let us serve you when we're old and gray-headed, and show thy strength to this generation. Again, in reading at Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, notice these words: "If it seem evil," if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. That word evil, it means if it seems like it's really good for nothing. If it seems like it's going to be a bad thing to do, if you think you're going to make some mistake by serving the Lord, if you somehow perceive that serving the Lord is going to be hurtful to you, then serve the gods of Egypt. And the solemn, profound reality is that life is made of the choices. Life is made of choices that we make. That's what Joshua was saying. What choices are you making in your life? Are they choices that are grounded in the Word of God? Or do your choices result in the kind of living that most other people in this world, the way they live? Your desires, what you're devoted to, do those things bring you closer to the idols of this world, the entertainment of the world, the fashions of this world. The gods of this world can't see. They don't hear. They can't speak. Who are you going to serve with your life? And our lives are made up of the choices that we make. Serving is a choice. Choose you. We might think of Moses as an example. In Hebrews, Moses made a deliberate, calculated, intentional choice in his life, just like you do. But Moses made his choices out of a tried and true faith in God. And Moses' choice was to share in the afflictions that come to the people of God. That's what his choice was, rather than to enjoy a few earthly pleasures of sin for a season. He could have just as well made another choice. He could have chosen to enjoy the pleasures of this world. He had it all. In fact, that would have been a much easier choice to make, but that wasn't his choice. By faith, he made the right choice, and that's what we need to do. God asks in Psalm 25, verse 12, "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose." Moses feared the Lord, and the Lord taught him in his life how to choose. And if there's a reverential fear of God in your life, the Lord's going to help you make the right choices. I don't mean just a temporary thing. I mean a constant reverential fear. God's going to help you make the right choices. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. God has to teach us how to make right choices in life, because by nature, we make wrong choices every time. Not some of the time, every time, by our own nature, we'll make the wrong choice. We have to be taught right choices, because it's the leaning of our nature is very strong to make our own choices. So Joshua made a choice. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And you know, truly serving the Lord, truly serving the Lord, it has a great influence upon your house. God said of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, "I know Abraham, he will command his children and his household, and they will keep the way of the Lord to do judgment." Abraham, God knew, was going to be an example for his children and his house to follow. They ultimately may or may not have followed, but at least the example was there. And just like Joshua, Abraham understood that his choices in daily living were going to influence his children and his household. And your choices, your daily choices, they directly affect your wife, your husband, your children, your household. Joshua said, "If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose who you will serve. If it's evil to you to serve the Lord, then serve the gods of the Egyptians. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And in verse 16, the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." In verse 18, at the end of verse 18, we will serve the Lord, for he is our God. In verse 24, the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. And what did Joshua say? Did he say, praise the Lord, you all made the right choice? No, look what he said. Verse 19, Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord. Joshua's answer to this excited, enthusiastic people was, you cannot serve the Lord. That is, they could not serve the Lord without first renouncing all their idols, as Joshua had commanded them to do. Joshua wasn't trying to discourage the people from serving the Lord, but he just knew what a stiff-necked people they were. Joshua had not forgotten the last words of Moses, who had foretold of the apostasy of the nation, how that they were going to fall into idolatry and they were going to be carried away of the Gentiles. The Lord Jesus said the same thing in these words, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the idols of this world. And Joshua wasn't deceived by their temporary enthusiasm. And doesn't the New Testament predict the same thing for the church in these days? So we especially need to be making right choices. Verse 21, the people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. So the question bears to be asked, what results are your choices having on you? On your house, on your family? And probably more important, what effect are your choices having on God's house? On the family of God, the eternal family. Choose you this day. And as you decide, as you make choices in this life daily, the call of God is the most important choice above every other call. And it's an individual call. Choose you. There's this sort of a patriarchal pressure within families that can get in the way of the call to serve God. The influence of the family can get in the way to the call to serve, and it can at times hinder as much as it helps. It's a great but very rare blessing if the whole family together is serving God. That's wonderful, but that's rare. You can see in family influence, you can see many things. One thing that you can see is in regards to church attendance. It's quite often observable that when a patriarchal kind of a figure in the family, the sort of the family head, decides to be absent from the church meeting, the whole family is absent at the same time. Have you ever observed that? Sometimes even the extended family. We're not going to one day stand before the Lord as families. You're going to appear one day before the Lord by yourself as an individual. The Lord is not going to one day say, okay, let's bring the Creech family up here. We're at the judgment seat. Okay, do we have the whole family here? Let's bring the Jed Taylor family up at the judgment seat. Is the whole family here? We got everyone? That's not how it's going to be. You're going to appear one day before the Lord by yourself as an individual. And who are you following? Who are we following? Are we following our family? Are we following men? Or are we following the Lord? The Lord meets with his people. The Lord's presence is going to be in the church. He meets with his people. And if any family member is going to miss the church meeting where the Lord is meeting with his people, that should very rarely, if any family member is going to miss, that should very rarely stand in the way of the call of God on your life as an individual to serve him and to be faithful to him. God calls you to be faithful, a faithful servant. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And one of the most visible, practical ways to be faithful as a steward of God is to be faithful in the house of the living God, which is his church. I mean, just read the New Testament. Just read the New Testament. It's all about the church. It's God's program. It's God's plan. It's his only agenda for this age. And if you consider yourself a servant of the Lord, the church should hold a place as prominent, if not far more prominent in your life than your family does. That's God's program. The whole New Testament is about it. We are living in the church age, aren't we? Or are we living in the family age? Now, God doesn't want us to ignore our family. That's not what I'm saying at all. But neither does he expect us to ignore his church. And some people will show up in the house of God for 1 hour a week. And then they'll probably be keeping one eye on the clock. That's not making the right choices in life. It's just not. The call to serve has never first and foremost been a call to serve ourselves nor our families. The call to serve is the call to serve God. And nothing else and no one else in this world should take the precedence over that call. Our call in life is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the priorities have become blurred. When the patriarch or an equivalent family figure doesn't make it to the house of God, and somehow the whole family doesn't show up either. But you know what that's really all about? I'll tell you what it's about. It's the devil sitting on your shoulder, whispering to you, hey, it's okay to skip church today. You've got a reason. You're not going to stand before the Lord as a family. It's not going to happen. You will stand before the Lord as an individual, responsible for God's call on your life to be a faithful servant. And this is not some new teaching. We read in Mark's gospel, the Lord's mother, his brethren came and they were calling to him and they were sending to him. And the people said, hey, your mother and your brother, they're looking for you. And Jesus said, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And as he looked about on those that were there, he said, whoever will do the will of God, that's my brother. That's my sister. That's my mother. The people were telling Jesus, you know, you should be spending some more time with your family. And Jesus was telling them, I am spending time with my family. And this is one of those choices that you have to make in your life. Choose you this day. Who's going to get first place in your life? Who's going to have the first devotion? The very first in your life. Who is it that you're going to serve, or what is it that you're going to serve above and before everyone else in this life? Joshua said, as for me, he said, first of all, as for me, the choice is to serve the Lord. And then my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you know, Joshua knew that the people in his house, as the head of that house, when they would observe his life, they would see from his example that it would lead them to put the Lord first in their lives. Choose you, Joshua said, this day. That's very important. This day. We've only got today. That's all we've got. Yesterday's gone. You can't go back and bring yesterday back. It's gone. You can't retrieve it and live it over again. And tomorrow is not here. Tomorrow's never here. It's always tomorrow. And you can get so preoccupied with what you want to do tomorrow that it interferes with what you need to choose today. The Lord said, take no thought of the morrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Choose you this day whom you will serve. So the call to serve is a very real call in your life. But I will say this, that it'll be truly real in your life only to the degree that you come to the cross of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It's talking about the cross. And so the call to serve will only be as real in your life as the cross of the Lord Jesus is real in your life. It's only a vision of the cross, getting your eyes off of everything else and onto the call to serve the living God. That's what the cross is all about. And isn't that even what is implied in our name? Calvary, Memorial, Church, are we being faithful to that call? The call to serve, it's only going to be truly a reality in your life to the degree that you are willing to turn from every false idol in your life. Every false idol that you've allowed in your heart. Paul said to the Thessalonians, that they had turned to the true and living God, and they had turned from something. They had turned from idols. That's the only way this call to serve will be a reality in any of our lives, is when we we very methodically destroy the idols in our life and turn from them. Psalm 102 says, serve the Lord with gladness. You know, the devil has a counterfeit happiness. He'd like to provide you with some of it. It doesn't focus on the cross. It focuses on your life, on your family, on your interests, on your hobbies. The false gladness that the devil would like for you to partake of, it doesn't focus on the cross. Doesn't everyone want a happy life? And you know, the only true gladness in your life is going to be there because you're serving the Lord. You're being obedient to the call of putting the Lord first in your life. Serve the Lord with gladness. Let's put the Lord to the test and see if that's not true every time, every day in your life. A happy Christian is a serving Christian. And we could say many things about serving. The Bible warns about, he warns the servants of the Lord about eye serving. Ephesians 6:6 says, don't serve with eye service as men pleasers. But as the servants of Christ, do the will of God from your heart. You know, servants of Christ do the will of God from the heart. It's something that's nurtured from within the heart before it ever becomes a reality in our lives. Eye service has nothing to do with it. It has nothing at all to do with a need for other people to be watching us. Because the servant of Christ who's called of God to serve, he knows this. Thou, God, seest me. Not all the people are seeing me. Thou, God, seest me. And the Lord does see. And to the true servant, it doesn't matter who among men may see. That does not matter. That doesn't enter in. The Lord sees. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart. Fearing God. Colossians, the next verse says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. There's many things we could say about serving. The Bible teaches that humility is indispensable for serving. You know, you remember in Mark's gospel that the time the disciples, they were disputing among themselves who's going to be the greatest. And the Lord sat them all down, and he put a little child in front of them to teach them about what true greatness is about. He said, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. You know, a servant is not even a person who expects to be first. Not a servant. A servant expects to be last because he's just the servant. Last is what he expects. And that's what the Lord was telling them. And as a servant, there's a great, great need to know the Word of God. The Word is indispensable. The psalmist said, "Thy Word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." The psalmist said, "I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies." The servant of the Lord knows this. He's got to have prayer. Prayer can't be just a religious thing in his life. It has to be real. Second Chronicles 6:19, "Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee." And probably most precious of all, the servant knows who he needs to fellowship with, and that is with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be." That's fellowship. If any man serve me, where I am, there also will my servant be. You've got some choices to make, and they have a bearing on you. They have a bearing on your family. And our choices in life extend far beyond the grave. We're making choices today that will affect us for the good or the bad throughout all eternity. And I hope that if there's anyone here who's never made the greatest choice of all in life, the choice to turn from your sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope you've made that choice. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, again, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for this divine call that we read in Joshua chapter 24. Choose you this day who you will serve. And Father, we can't live today on the choices that we made last month or last year. We have to choose daily. Choose you this day. And we pray, Father, that you will help us to make the right choice. Father, if there's any soul that's in this room tonight that is without the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that by your Spirit you'll impress upon them to make the choice to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to call upon his name while he may be found. And we pray as thy servants that you'll help us, Lord, to humble ourselves and to serve you daily. And we look forward with great anticipation of one day very soon seeing our Savior face to face. What a glory that will be. We pray that you will be faithful to uphold us and keep us until that day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.